I'd like to thank everybody for coming out once again. Before we begin, we'll just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, that he ever came to this earth from the glory of heaven, that he would come here to suffer and die on the cross so that we might be freed from our sins. We ask for blessings now on this meeting and for help for both of us speaking and help for the crowd in understanding. And we ask that any of those who might not be saved, that you would soften their hearts and open their minds to your word. All these things we pray in that most precious and holy name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I originally wasn't going to be speaking this week, and I found out just the other day that I was going to fill in for somebody. So I thought, since the date's coming up, that I would tell a version of my testimony, which is just the story of how I was saved. So whenever any of us come up here to tell our story of testimony, though, it's never to put the focus on ourselves. It's literally just to show salvation is meant for all. It's meant for everybody in their ordinary lives, because I'm a nobody, really, when it comes down to it. But my own personal journey to Christ began during one of the hardest times in my life. Back in November 15th of 2022, my spouse, Emily Smallman, of almost 16 years, unexpectedly passed away. This meeting, I'm not going to go into the details of that, but it's suffice to say that an event like that, it shook me to my very core of what I believe and what I know. It's one of those things that when it happens, you're sad, obviously, but you're not just sad. Like, I was depressed and confused, frustrated, and just angry. And with the history I've had in my life, it was potentially the start of a very dark time for me. And when you go through something like this, you learn very quickly that you can't think your way out of sorrow. You can't work your way out of grief. It's just, you can't. You can distract yourself for a while with things, but whenever those quiet times come, or those times at night when you can't sleep, questions start to arise in your mind about life. And as is common whenever somebody dies, I started to receive a lot of condolence cards from various people. And I appreciated every one of those people for sending one. But one that stood out a little bit was I got one from the O'Leary Gospel Hall, this hall. And it stood out a little bit because it included some handwritten Bible verses, a bunch of names had signed it. There was even a little bit of financial assistance in there to help me with things. But it really stuck out because I didn't know anybody at this hall at the time, other than my brother, who I kind of knew that he came here. Whenever I got that card and seen those verses, I didn't understand them. I could read them, but they didn't mean anything to me. I didn't know the Bible. I definitely didn't know what the gospel message was. I was not a religious person at all. The last time I attended church, I was a child, and my grandparents used to take me with them on Sunday mornings. That said, all my life I had believed there was some form of higher power out there than me, because how couldn't there be? But at that time, whenever Emily passed away, I was angry at whatever that higher power was. I didn't understand things. I didn't have explanations for anything. I was just angry. During that time, I don't know if it was from the anger or the depression or the card from here or some combination of all those things, but it eventually led me to downloading a Bible app on my phone, which, if you knew me before, is a very odd thing for me to say. So I started flipping through that app, looking up the verses that were in that card, and just doing random searches for things to deal with death or grief to see if there was anything in that book that could help me. The first verse I found that had meant anything to me came from the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew in chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Comfort is definitely something I was looking for at that time. And the other verse at that time that really stuck out to me was in the book of Psalms. Sorry if I'm not giving you enough time to flip to these things. Sometimes I get tripped up on my words and just like to keep moving sometimes. But Psalm 34 and verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The verses, they did bring me a little bit of comfort. I'd like to say they brought me more comfort than they did. But I come to learn, you can read one of these verses, and you can feel a moment of relief sometimes. But when that moment fades, you're still left with the same problem you had. And for me, that was dealing with eternity and loss and where I stood with God. And that's one thing, at least for me, that my grief really brought down to me. Eternity became something that felt real. Death wasn't something that was just out there. It was a very personal thing to me at that time. And all I can remember is thinking, we don't have as much time on this earth as we think we do. And I also realized that I was not as strong mentally as I thought I was at the time. A little bit of time went by, and then like one does, I started sending out thank you cards to various people for all the nice things they had said or done with everything to do with the funeral and wake and whatnot. And then I got to the card from this hall, and so my sister-in-law and my brother who come here, I asked them, how do I say thank you to these people? Because they knew them and I didn't. She said, the easiest way to say thank you to everybody is just go to a gospel meeting. Everybody will take that as a thank you. One of these meetings like you're at right now. And I remember thinking, yeah, that's fair. I could do that. That's easy enough. And then I was like, I'll go to three meetings. Three meetings should be more than enough thank you to everybody. And then I'll be out of that place. It was about another week before I felt like, well, I better go get this done with. I remember the first time I walked into that door, I was like, this isn't like any of the churches I went to as a kid. There was no atmosphere of, you know, like ceremony. There was nobody standing around in big fancy robes. There wasn't symbols hanging off of all the walls or miscellaneous gold things everywhere. It was a very simple thing. I sat down over there. Two different people came up here doing the same thing I'm doing now, but probably a lot better. And they just came up and plainly spoke about Jesus, God, salvation, the need for it. The focus was on their message, nothing to do with this building or anything like I was used to from going to church as a kid. I didn't know the verses they were reading. I didn't understand them. I didn't know a single lyric to any of the songs that were sung. Even whenever they would say, flip to wherever in your... I had no idea where the books were in this Bible to find anything. But I sat right there and I listened. I was here out of obligation at that time. I came to those three meetings. And then the fourth week, I had no intention of coming here. And I didn't. But it didn't feel right. Because the thing that happened is while I was coming those 3 weeks, even though I was out of obligation, I was flipping through that Bible app. I was trying to find the verses they were talking about. I was trying to look things up and do some reading. And it must have set in some, because on that fourth week, I didn't feel right not being here. So when the fifth week rolled around, I decided I'm going to come back in here because there's something was pulling at me. And the thing is, I also noticed the believers here that attended here regularly, they all seemed to have something in their life. And it wasn't religion. They had some kind of peace with something. And I thought, maybe if I go back, I can figure out what that is. That's the thing. When we hear the gospel message spoken, it should comfort you some, but it should also confront you. The gospel message isn't just God can help you or God is near you. It reaches out to you and says, you're a sinner and you need to be saved. I didn't understand that at the time. I just had this feeling, something. So I came back in, and this might not work for everybody, but that fifth night when I came back in, I no more than walked in those front doors. And sadly, a brother who's not here with us anymore, Timmy McKenzie, he cornered me as soon as I walked in that door in front of those tracks over there. And he didn't hold me there, but he kind of cornered me in and started asking me questions that I wasn't ready to deal with. But we spoke, and he took an interest in me that night. And for a long time after that, for which, looking back on it, I'm thankful. But that night, I didn't want anything more than to worm away from him and get out of there. But I was very thankful for it, because in time to come, whenever I have questions, hard ones, stupid ones, a lot of stupid ones, he was there to listen to me and answer the questions, which usually meant him pointing me right back to this book, showing me what God says about us, what our condition is. When I was coming to the meetings at that point, I was starting to understand concepts that were being said. The message of the gospel was being preached from this podium. And I believed in the facts that were being told to me. But I didn't have any kind of peace. I didn't have any kind of certainty. I'd sit there, I'd stare at this chart behind us. So eventually, I got down and looked up the verse in Matthew 7 and 13. Matthew 7 and 13 and 14 said, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And then I move to those words that are written right there on that door. John 10, in verse 9. John 10 and verse 9 is the words of the Lord Jesus himself. And it says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." And that's where I felt like I was at that time, understanding things. I was standing at a doorway, and I couldn't figure out how to walk through the thing. And the thing is, a door is something so simple. A door isn't complicated. Like, it's something you just walk through. But I just couldn't figure it out. With a verse that's that simple, putting it that plain in front of me, I kept trying to make things harder than it was. I kept thinking, there has to be more to this. It can't be that simple. I kept feeling like I had to have more feeling or put more effort into it. I had to have more proof of something that just made it all feel real to me. And that's the trap that we can fall into. When you start treating salvation like a combination lock, you're just adding extra steps that aren't needed. God didn't give us a combination lock. He gave us the door. The door which is his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So eventually I came to the same question that everybody asks at some point, either to themselves, to God, or to a friend. I said, "How can I be saved?" And Timmy pointed me directly to the book of Romans, for a very simple verse in Romans 10. Starting at Romans 10 and verse 9. Said, "That if thou confessest with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And then down to verse 13, where it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Even with words that simple, I kept struggling with it. And it felt like I was struggling for a very long time with this. I kept looking inwards. And that's not the right way to do things. In my mind, I had to be sure that I understood everything. I had to be sure that I was doing the right thing. And the more I looked inward, the worse it was getting for me. I was just frustrating myself. And that's why this verse in Romans 10 is so important. It sends us right to Christ when you read it. It says, "Believe that God hath raised him from the dead." It's meant to take your eyes off of yourself and your own thoughts and put them on Christ and what God has done for you. John During this dark time in my life, I was searching for comfort. And God, He can give comfort through His word to you. But He was doing more. Unbeknownst to me, I was being pushed towards what salvation was. There is a mercy from God. There's a mercy from God that can comfort you in your grief. And there's a mercy from God that can lead you to salvation from your sins. And at that point, I was in desperate need of both of these things. The gospel message is that God has offered salvation as a free gift to you because of Christ. Christ died for our sins. He was buried to show that He truly had died on that cross. He rose again, showing that death could not hold Him. His work, His suffering at the cross, was accepted by God as payment in full for our sins. And we can know that He is alive now. And that's what my mind was starting to come to rest on. That's what I was starting to understand every time I came to this meeting and sat there. I sat in that same chair every time. It wasn't about my feelings. It wasn't about my effort. It wasn't about my background or even the questions that I had. Which brought me eventually to the morning of March 10th, 2023. On that day, I was sat in Charlottetown, sitting in a car at the QEH hospital, trying to distract myself, because that's the hospital where Emily's life began its last journey for her. And I was there with Dad because he had fallen off of Alan's roof and had to get his leg fixed. But I was sitting in the car trying to distract myself. So I picked up my phone and put on a podcast that Timmy had suggested to me. I just scrolled down the list and went, that one looks good, I'll listen to that. Clicked it, laid back, closed my eyes, and started listening. There was a preacher from Scotland whose name is Jack Hay. He was talking about stuff I had probably heard tons of times coming here to the hall. But he was talking about his own story. He was talking about the Word of God, salvation. And I just sat there with my eyes closed, listening. And then at one point, I literally felt my eyes start to tear up. And I had to pause the track as he was quoting a verse. He was quoting a verse in the book of Joel. If you're like me, that's one of the harder books to find in your Bible. It's in the Old Testament near the end. But he was quoting the book of Joel, chapter 2, and verse 32. There's more to the verse. He only quoted the first part of it, and I knew so little about my Bible, I didn't know there was any more to the verse at the time. But the important part that I heard was in Joel 2, 32, he said, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered." And I hit pause on my phone, tears in my eyes, because at that moment it just hit me that I was part of that whosoever. It wasn't just some Bible word at that point. It was me. And I just, at that moment, I started speaking in the car. To be honest, I'd like to say with full confidence, I was speaking to God at that point, but I don't know if I was speaking to God, speaking to myself, or just looking crazy to the people walking by the car. But I was admitting what I was, a sinner. I admitted where I was. I was confused and angry and lost, and I needed help. And then I expressed my faith in Christ. I believed that Christ had suffered and died for me on that cross, and that through Him, my sins could be forgiven. And it might sound cheesy to say, but I felt a literal weight lift off my chest at that moment. Even after all those meetings at the hall, I didn't truly understand what salvation meant. But I knew right then something important had happened to me. It wasn't until the next day, I ended up spending the afternoon with Timmy sitting at Tim Hortons here at the end of the road. We spent all afternoon drinking coffee and eating muffins talking about my previous day. And then I went home that night, and no more than got home and realized everything we had talked about and sent him a message saying, "I know what happened to me in that car. I was saved at that moment. And he goes, I knew you were by how you were talking, but I had to let you realize it. I can say with certainty, not because I remember that specific time or point, not because that moment was emotional for me, but I can point to God's word and God's promise in this book where he says, God says, thou shalt be saved. And God always means what he says. The message of the gospel is never, how good are you? It's what are you doing with Christ? You can't trust in your own intentions, your religion, your upbringing. You have to put all that trust in the Savior, the one who died for our sins and rose again. So that morning of March 10th, 2023, at about 10 a.m., will always hold a special place for me in my heart because I know I was saved by the grace of God and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, that realistically is just the beginning of my journey with Christ. I'll admit to you now, it didn't absolve all the grief I was feeling at the time. I wasn't done with questions. I'd have many more stupid ones to come. But I was finished with the question of my sin because I knew it was settled by Christ. But this is where the message of the gospel, I can't just come up here and tell my testimony and be like, I got saved, see us. Because if you leave this place without this making you think about your own soul, your own sin, then us up here speaking haven't done a good job. I need you all to know, like, I know the tragedy in my life that brought me to Christ. But you need to know it doesn't take a big event in your life. It doesn't take a tragedy. It doesn't even take years of religious effort. All it takes to be saved is to come to Christ as the sinner, trusting in him and what he has done for you. You don't even need this gospel hall as much as we enjoy you all being here. It doesn't take a gospel hall to be saved. Hearing the gospel message is definitely a privilege that not everyone in the world gets. This building can't save you. Neither of us who get up here and speak can save you. No matter how many meetings you come to, they alone cannot save you. Only Jesus can save. All of you here could be saved tonight right where you sit. The same way I was saved sitting in that car. God can speak to you. He'll bring you to your need and point you to Christ. One of the most well-known verses in the Bible is on our wall right over here. John 3:16. Yeah, that's it. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the reason that verse is one of the most well-known in the world is because it starts with God. It says God loved, God gave. It includes everyone, whosoever. And it states what you need to do, believe. And it gives you the promised outcome. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. For me, the simplicity of things was one of the hardest aspects to get over. Our lives have taught us that things can't be simple, but they can be. Our life, our past, our pride, fears, questions, pain, it all doesn't matter. It truly is as simple as believing in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. If you can take God at his word and put your trust in the Lord Jesus, you could walk out of this meeting saved tonight. Not because we're worthy, because none of us are, but because Christ is worthy, he is able, and God always keeps the promises put forth in the Bible. Thank you all for listening.